Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, a common complaint that women will make is that they go on a first date with a man and he does nothing but talk about himself. Another complaint is that they go on a first date and the man says next to nothing. Yes, men can't win. And everything all the time is their fault. Professor of Psychiatry at Trinity College, Brendan Kelly, is here to give a sullen and monosyllabic defence of half the planet. Afternoon, Brendan.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why? Well, if a man goes on a first date, he might be a bit nervous. He might struggle to say something.
He might. And look, communication patterns are different between men and women. And I think what you've described are, you know, women's comments after being on dates with men. I think often less articulated, and maybe this is the problem, are the reports of men after they have been on dates with women, who might find the level of, you know, communication maybe a bit long, a bit intense. But of course, these are all generalizations, Sean. Not all dates are men and women. Not all men are the same. Not all women are the same. But let's be honest, there are patterns in communication habits between men and women. And very often men tend to say fewer words, although that doesn't mean we're not communicating in other ways.
What other ways?
Well, simply being there is something, isn't it? Gestures are something as well. Often restraint is an undervalued...
Well, sorry, Brenda, but being there is the basic minimum, really. I would have thought anybody would be home for a bit more than that. I turned up. Can we get married now?
Well, look, I turned up is better than not turning up. And simply being there and being silent can be an important communication as well. And we live in a world that very much values verbal communication, Sean. We live in a hyper-cognitive world where words are seen as the best way to communicate everything. And that's not always the case. Sometimes actions, behaviours, being there, gestures and restraint are incredibly communicative, have we but ears to hear what is being said.
Or eyes to see what's being said.
Yes, yes, indeed. We could use all the senses here, Sean, but yeah. I'm not certain much joy lies for men down that particular pathway. The sense of smell doesn't always, reflect terribly well upon us. But look, I mean, the fact is, men, we do tend to say less. We tend to downplay emotions rather than expressing them openly through words. And we tend to, I suppose we could call silence listening rather than necessarily putting our own point of view across all the time. But yes, I'm sure a lot of men could do with speaking up a little more and with a little more care and concision.
Yeah. So why don't men do that? We've been conditioned to do that? We've been brought up to be that way?
Well, I mean, we could go for some evolution, if you like, a little bit of oversimplified evolutionary theory that says there are evolutionary benefits in simply, you know, not saying too much, just being there and keeping the cards close to your chest. But on the other hand, it would go against us evolutionarily if it doesn't work out well on dates. But dates are a relatively new thing in evolution, Sean, and doing well on a date wouldn't have always been one of the determinants of whether you got to reproduce in the past, even though it might be now. That is not to say the purpose of every date is reproduction. Dates are many steps earlier than that. But the fact is, men's style in these situations is really quite different. So we do tend to offer advice or solutions up front rather than waiting for empathy and validation to necessarily emerge from the conversation.
Okay, in that a woman might describe something and she just wants to describe something. She doesn't want the man to then give her the answer to the problem.
Yes, and I think men, well, this is not always the case, but men more than women tend to jump in with a solution to something that isn't even a problem, or even if it is a problem, maybe a solution isn't what is required in the circumstance, more like a sounding board or a way to process an issue rather than to necessarily deal with it definitively, you know, on the day. So that is a definite communication pattern difference, and it's useful to be aware of that one. One of the other problems, of course, is men were far more likely to interrupt in conversations, whereas women tend to interrupt less in conversations, often showing agreement or support rather than necessarily jumping in with a different point of view. And again, something to be aware of is letting people finish speaking before responding thoughtfully.
Because I would have thought interrupting a lot is just kind of rude.
Yes, it is, but it happens all the time and we do it, or we nearly do it. In other words, we often listen to people and we're just waiting for them to stop so we can say something ourselves. So active listening is good, and that means focusing on what people actually say, not simply waiting for them to stop so you can make some other point and continue with your parallel monologue without any regard to what they've said.
Well, but I suppose, though, in a way, it's you know, if you're a man, you go on a date, you meet a woman, you start asking her questions, you actively listen, you ask follow-up questions to what she's told you, and then perhaps by the end of the date, she said far more than you have, but then you're damned for not having said enough.
Well, I suppose you are and you aren't. I mean, it's important to answer questions, but not at enormous length. And there is a balance to be struck here. But I mean, what you're describing to start this item was very much someone describing being on a date with a man. We don't so often hear men describing the systematic experience of being on dates with women. But there are two sides to this story. But to answer your question, yes, maybe you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. But that would work both ways. And also these differences, Sean, they're ultimately the reason why people go on dates, in order to navigate these differences and find ways of bridging them if possible. And of course, a bridge is always best built from both sides rather than just starting in the middle.
Yes, indeed. But would it be kind of, is it an evolutionary fact? Is it a a societal fact that women just talk more than men?
Well, OK, we're going to be very careful about saying women talk more than men now, because there'll be a deluge of text messages in from various people. But it is, I suppose, an evolutionary fact that women do tend to focus more on relationships and empathy and communication rather than facts and assertiveness. Now, that's a wild generalization, and there are always going to be differences in that. But it is the case, and it does appear to have been the case for a very long time in human behavior. This is writ large in our current era, where we are so focused on thoughts and words and facts and things like this, and that we sometimes neglect other aspects of communication, aspects of who we are. You know, we are very cerebral. We tend to treat all aspects of life and our bodies as simply sort of mechanisms for moving our brains through the world, as if we are these disembodied thinking machines, and we're not. And so maybe that's something that we need to rethink as well, particularly in dating situations, which function so much on the basis of emotion and bodily communication rather than necessarily the content of words.
Oh, does that put men at a disadvantage then in the current culture?
Well, I think it means that men need to work a little bit harder to kind of navigate the current culture. I mean, some men do. For example, some of my friends, they're now talking about their emotions so ceaselessly, Sean, that I long for them just to be quiet and watch the match. Like a bit of quote silent sullenness just watching the telly for 2 or 3 hours. I mean, that can really recharge the batteries. There's nothing necessarily wrong with it. And sometimes maybe there can be an overcorrection that is contrary to their true nature.
Yes. Brendan, thank you very much. A lot in there, actually, to think about. Brendan, thanks a million. That was Professor of Psychiatry in Trinity College, Brendan Kelly. Someone says, I'm too easy eating to talk about during a date. I just give a thumbs up or a thumbs down to whatever she's rattling on about as I'm tucking into my spaghetti. That must be a real treat for her, just getting the thumbs up and thumbs down. Someone else says, men are just looking for sex, not a genuine relationship. So they can't be bothered to make an effort with a proper date. For them, it's just killing time until they can have sex with the woman. But the woman isn't going to have sex with them if, you know, you've just sat there going, can we have sex now? Can we have sex now? I'm amazed to hear this about men not saying anything. Says this texter, I'm happily married now and I've had lots of long-term relationships. Holy moly, my experience was always that it's hard to get a word in edgeways. They don't even realise it's nearly a one-way conversation unless you eventually pull them up on it. It seems to me. Well, no, as I said in the introduction, a common complaint is men just monologuing in these situations. Paul says, it's like the scene where the woman says to the man, I love the way you sit there and just listen to me, not realising that Match of the Day is on the TV behind her. It's great being a bloke, says Paul. And one of the things Bernard said that, you know, men communicate not just through words, that, for instance, they turn up to the date. One texter says, I must try that. Turn up to work on Monday, do nothing. And when my boss asks me why I've done no work, I'll just say, well, I was there, wasn't I?
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.